Well, amen. You know, Christmas time, we are bombarded with so many different messages and signals from the outside, but I want to speak about what Christmas is really about. Amen. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah and the 9th chapter. The book of Isaiah chapter 9. We're just going to zero in on one verse, verse number 6, New King James Version, please, or the New Kojovi for my Ghanaian brothers and sisters. Amen. It says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Unto us a child is given, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, that's given to us. At Christmas, God is the biggest giver. Amen? Amen. God has given us a gift that is beyond measure. More than, you know, it's not one of these gifts that have a console and a screen. You know, for the young people today, if it doesn't have a console and you can't push some buttons, it's no good to me. Now, I remember in my day as a child, you know, I'd be happy rolling a tire outside in the sunshine. It would be good. But in this generation, it needs to have a console. It needs to be an Xbox. It needs to be something, you know, that you plug in and switch on. And, you know, otherwise it's no good, mommy. It's no good, daddy. Sometimes the kids are in their own world. You know, they're bubble wrapped in that different world. But the Bible says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. God is the biggest giver. You know, it's God's sunshine in the sky that we enjoy daily. It's God's air that we breathe in so freely. Amen. It's God's water that he provides us every day to drink. You know, so God is the biggest giver of all. And God has given us so much. But there's a message here that I believe that God wants to minister to our hearts. You know, John 3:16, arguably the most famous verse in the Bible, says what? "For God so loved that he gave." For God so loved that he gave. And so God was motivated and is motivated by his love to give. So everything that he gives us is from his heart. You know, the Bible says God has given us or loads us daily with benefits. He has given us all things freely to enjoy. So we're enjoying the heart of God. We're enjoying the love of God continuously. You know, God causes his sun to shine on the good and on the bad. Amen. He gives his rain to fall on the righteous and on the unrighteous, the just and on the unjust. It's because it's the nature of our God. So God is love. Amen. And so God is the biggest giver of all. But I want us to look at another scripture, which is in the book of John. Let's go to John's Gospel. John's Gospel and chapter 1. And we'll start in from the 6th verse. John chapter 1, reading from verse 6. It says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man, to every woman coming into the world." We'll pause there. It says that was the true light, which gives light to every man, to every woman coming into the world. So God is the giver. And so John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner of God's special gift to the world. You know, it's quite interesting, and we'll see. I want us to pick up some other verses as well. We're going to look also at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2 and the 10th verse. Because, you know, they didn't really recognize, you know, God's son when he came into the world. Actually, no, let's stick back. Let's flip back, sorry, to John's Gospel chapter 1. And let's look at, let's go on to the 10th verse. No, John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This is Jesus. So he was in the world. The world was actually made through him, but the world didn't know him. Okay, verse 11. It says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. You know, the Jewish people in Jesus' day, they didn't believe that he was the Messiah. So they never really embraced him at all. If anything, they were looking for how they would crucify and get rid of this guy who was a constant irritant, a constant thorn in their flesh. And so they were constantly looking to get rid of Jesus. Ultimately, you know, he was crucified on the cross. You know, that scripture that says, had they known, they would not. You know, had Satan known and realized that God had outfoxed him, he would not have crucified, you know, the Son of Glory. Okay, verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right. You know, I think it's the Old King James that says power, that gave. So as many as received him, he gave the right, or some translations say the authority, or the Old King James says the power to become children of God to those who believe in his name. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right. Again, this is God giving, giving the right, the authority, the power to become children of God. And you know, this is God's plan and purpose for us, to become children of God. And we're going to see what God's going to do through his children. But first of all, Hebrews 2 and verse 10 speaks about many sons being brought to glory. So God's plan wasn't just for his only son, but you know, when it says many sons, guess who that includes? That includes each and every one of us. In the many sons, that it's been in the mind and in the heart and in the plan and in the purpose of God to bring many sons. But there's a purpose. There's a purpose that God has. You see, the Jews never realized the value of the gift that they had. You know, God in his wisdom could have chosen any number of ways for his son to come into the world. You know, we see the movies like sort of Superman, and you know, he comes from under the earth, and you know, he's all powerful and spectacular and dazzling and light and all those kind of things. But you know, Jesus Christ didn't make his entrance in that way, did he? How does it say he made his entrance? He was in a manger. He was a baby. You know, he didn't come fully grown. You know, God could have done that. He could have just landed him as a fully grown up man. But the Bible says he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. So as a child, he grew up, you know, as a child. He looked so ordinary. In the temple and in the synagogues, he was astounding the Jewish teachers of his day. But Jesus Christ came into the world as a man, just growing up, just naturally. And he was never really recognized as the Messiah. You know, when that first miracle in Canaan, and he said to his, his mother said, they've run out of wine. What did Jesus say to his mommy? He said, my time is not yet. It's not time for me to be revealed, to be manifested. And so leave me alone. And then she ignored him and said, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. And Jesus, of course, he tells them to fill up, you know, the jars with water. And then his first miracle is performed. But you see, God's unspeakable gift was already in the earth there, unknown and unrecognized by the people around him. But God is an awesome God, and God always has a plan. I want us to look at some more scripture. Let's look at 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start in from the 17th verse. And it's a verse that we know very well that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. Are there any people in Christ here? Yes. Amen. And so he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God. It says, who has reconciled us, that's you and me, to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now all things, okay, that God has given on, okay, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given us, this is another gift, God has given to us, to you and to I, a ministry. You know, a task to do. The ministry of reconciliation has been given to you and to me if you are in Christ. Amen? And so that's something that God has given to us. Let's look at verse 19. And it says, that is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Remember, the Bible says that when Christ came, that they didn't recognize him. The Bible says God was in Christ. A very unassuming, it wasn't gift wrapped in nice, fancy, shiny paper. It wasn't gift wrapped in a way that people would recognize and say, oh, this is a beautiful gift. No. It looked so ordinary. You know, one comment was, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? No one believed it. They never believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, was the Savior. They never believed that he was a gift to them, to the world. Can anything good come out of Nazareth, they said. Yet, that was God's gift right in front of them. But they never received another one. Can I have verse 19 in the New Living Translation, please? Verse number 19, the New Living Translation. So it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Okay, it says, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has given you a wonderful message of reconciliation. Turn to your other neighbor and say, God has given you a wonderful message of reconciliation. You know, God has given us this wonderful message of reconciliation to the world. We are carriers of that message. Amen? I said, we are carriers of that message. But it says, God was in Christ. I want to say that God is in you. Yeah? If Christ is in you, then God is in you. And you are carrying that message. You are praying with that message. And that message is for the world. So beyond the billboards, beyond all the adverts and the commercials, the message of Christ, okay? The message of Christ is for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave that whosoever, that means whosoever old or young, whosoever black or white, whosoever pretty or ugly, whosoever tall or short, whosoever believes should not perish but have everlasting life. It's God's gift. It's God's gift to the world. You know, I love what Reinhard Bonnke, you know, used to say in one of his testimonies. He said that, he's from Germany. And he said, back in the day when he started out in ministry, he said, I was a zero. You know, the Germans can be quite harsh and direct. So if they didn't like you, if they felt that, you know, you were a bit disadvantaged or not up to par for whatever reason, they said, oh, forget so-and-so, he's just a zero. So demeaning. And he said, I was considered by my peers and friends at that time, I was considered as a zero, nothing, worthless. He said, then I heard the gospel and Jesus came into my life. And he said, Jesus, and you know how Reinhard speaks, he said, Jesus, he is the number one. He is the number one. And I was a zero, a big fat zero. And so when Jesus, the number one, came into my life, he was in front. And I was behind him as this zero. But together, Jesus, number one, and me, zero, we made a number 10. I said, then I was a 10. Oh, and I was so wonderful. He said, isn't that wonderful? He said, that's wonderful. And then you know what? I went and preached the gospel to another man. And he too was a zero. Oh, he was just a zero. But I said, come and follow Jesus. And he received Jesus. And Jesus came into his life. And then he stood behind me. And Jesus was in front of us. And no, Jesus number one. And I am a fat zero. And there's another zero behind me. And then we became 100. Oh, I said, this is wonderful now. And we reach another zero. And we continue to reach out to zeros all over the world until Africa is saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But you get the point there. And so Jesus, because of Jesus, he's the real meaning of Christmas. And so when Jesus comes in, then everything changes. And so I just love that testimony because it just speaks about what the message and the power that is in that message of the gospel, the power in the message of the gospel. And if we look at verse 20, verse number 20, it says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And so we are Christ's ambassadors. You know, that's who we are. God has called us to be his ambassadors here in the earth. And you know, so we represent heaven on earth. The greatest gift, God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. Amen? I said God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. Amen. That little baby in the manger there. You know, his destiny was to die on the cross. But it was for the benefit of mankind. I call the whole Bible a love story. A love story between Father God and his created beings. That, you know, way back then, the Garden of Eden, when the devil came in and deceived Eve and Adam and stole their birthright and stuff, you know, from that very moment, God prophesied right there and then that the seed of the woman would strike you, Satan. You know, that you would bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. That was a prophetic word concerning the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross. But the devil was too dumb and he didn't know it. But on the cross, when Jesus died, he was actually paying the price for the redemption and for the restoration and for the reconciliation of humanity. I want to say that Christ is in you. Christ is in you and is working through you. And God is reaching out to the world, to your world. You know, whether you're in the NHS, whether you're in business, whether, you know, you're in education, whether you're in the field of arts and entertainment, whatever field it is, in your neighborhoods, where you live, Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Christ is what this world needs. Christ is the one that needs to be manifested to the world, but he needs to be manifested through you. You know, and how does that happen? You know, so many times, you know, I remember the parable that Jesus spoke about the judgment seats of Christ, the separating between the goats and the sheep. And he said, someone will come to me, you know, or he will say that, you know, I was hungry, but you never fed me. I was thirsty, you never gave me anything to drink. Okay. I was hungry, you never fed me. I was thirsty, you never gave me a drink. And they will say, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and not feed you? Or when did we see you thirsty and not give you something to drink? And he said, as much as you didn't do it to one of these least of my brethren, then you didn't do it to me. He says, as much as you didn't do it to one of these least of my brethren, then you didn't do it to me. And I want to say that, you know, God's love is for the world around us. Whatever communities we live in, you know, you are the light in that place. God has anointed you and sent you into that field. So don't think that you're just there by accident or for any other reason, but you're there because God wants you there. God has a message for those people. So the message this Christmas you're carrying in your heart, the message is the love of God. And, you know, I just love what my brothers shared. You know, my two Nigerian brothers there speaking about, reaching out. But, you know, that's just so is the heart of God. That's the heart of God. It's the heart of God for our community. It's the heart of God for the poor. You know, the ministries, that God gave me this word, and I just want to read it exactly as he gave it to me for us as a church. It says, every spirit-filled, purpose-driven ministry has this mandate. Has this mandate of reconciliation, of reconciling the world back to Christ. And so I see that in our ministries in this church. I see that in our Healed for Life ministry. I love what Pastor Joe shared this morning. Just said how everybody that is involved is contributing towards that. So whether you're praying, whether you're giving financially, whether you're physically getting up and going out, in whatever capacity, you have a part to play. And that's the heart of God, that he's reaching out to the world, you know, through the to the world, through the ministries in Harvest Church. You know, I love what Pastor Paul shares. You know, I call it his keynote message: salvation, healing, prosperity, and ambassadorship. We've seen the ambassadorship right here, right now. But those key areas, God has given him that message that he ministers every time. You know, that comes out in some form or another: salvation, healing, prosperity, ambassadorship. You know, and that's the heart of God expressed and amplified again and again and again. You know, here at Harvest Church London, what's our strap line? Changing lives and shaping destinies. And so that's what we're about. And so that's impacting and that's ministering to our world. How are we doing that? You know, person by person, as we reach out to people and as we minister in those different areas, God's love is being demonstrated. You know, someone said, 1 John 3:16. Can I have 1 John 3:16? And it speaks about 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, this is how we know real love. Everyone say real love. Okay, because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. And we do this in so many different ways, in practical ways. And so I love what's happening right now with Christmas lunch on Jesus. That's the church. That's us reaching out into our communities, being a blessing to them. Amen. Tell them I'm busy. So Christmas lunch, so that's a real practical way. I love what my sister Auntie Rhoda is doing right now with feeding, with the soup kitchen. You know, a couple of weeks back, or so when I was teaching Life Changers and during one of the breaks, I had to nip out to move my car. But I saw a sister and she was bringing in this homeless young man into the church to the soup kitchen. And, you know, he was ministered to and was blessed. Now, that was probably his one hot meal of the day. But he was blessed and in a very real and tangible way. And so this is the ministry that God has called us to as a church. That beyond more than just the words, keep warm, be blessed, but real practical outworking and reaching out into our communities with the message of God's love is what the world really needs and what we've been called to. So, expansion. I just want to give this quick word about, you know, expansion, because I believe that God is going to expand us even more, that we are expanding through the ministries in this church. Amen? Amen. So our voice is going across into the nation of America. Our voice is going across, as our pastor shared with us, into Asia and India, to the corners of the earth. And that's the ministry or the mission field. You know, the whole world is our mission field. And as the Lord enables us and strengthens our hands, we continue to reach further and further. But, you know, something interesting happens in my home. Well, it's interesting, but you know, it was a challenge. A few weeks back, it's probably about 3 weeks back now, the boiler in our property went, so which meant basically the practical effect of that on the house was that there was no hot water and there was no heating. And so, of course, you know, scrambled around, we thought, okay, we need to call. And this happens like on a Saturday night stroke Sunday morning. So Sunday morning after church was, you know, or at church was calling up, just looking for a boiler engineer to come out and fix it. So eventually I ended up speaking to my home emergency. Thank God for emergency cover. Amen. And so home emergency on the line. And eventually a boiler engineer came out and he said, oh, he opened it all up. And the diagnosis was that something was faulty on the inside. And he said this. He said, oh, it's your, and I thought it was quite interesting. It said something to me. He said, it's the expansion unit that has gone kaput on the inside of your boiler. It's the expansion unit that has failed. And so we need to replace it. And so the part was ordered. That took another couple of days. So we had probably nearly a week almost, you know, without any hot water. Yeah, Mary's nodding, yes, because she understands that, you know, and with four children in the home, you know, it's really, really difficult. And so he said, well, the expansion units, you know, that's just like the devil. He wants to hit the expansion unit. he wants to hit the expansion unit. That's his plan. But the Bible said, the greater one is within us. And so as we enter into 2017, our expansion units are going to be fully functional. Can you say amen? Amen. God wants to do an amazing, he wants to do an amazing work on the inside of each one of us. And the message of the gospel he has given to us is for the world. And so whatever area it is, it's beyond the Christmas presents, beyond all of those things, it's love in action. It's the practical demonstration of the love of God in action that is going to win and reach the hearts of people. Shall we stand to our feet? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And you know, we can't talk about Christmas without giving people an opportunity to know Jesus. You know, it's almost a cliche. We say that he's the reason for the season. But that's so true. You know, that's lost on the world. But he came to his own and his own didn't recognize him. Never mind everyone else. His own people in Jesus' day didn't even recognize who he was. And being born in a manger, the world thinks it's a nice story. To the world, it's just a nice, sweet story about baby Jesus being born in a manger. But you know, that baby Jesus born in a manger was the most unsuspecting, unusual gift that this world has ever known. You know, Bible says, for God so loved that he gave. God's love was provoked to action and he gave his best. Bible says it was his one and only son. But you know, in the plan and in the mind of God, the purpose was to raise up many sons. And I'm looking at those many sons and daughters right now. And so God now committed, has now given to you and given to me the ministry, the work, the task of reconciling our lost worlds around us back to him. The message of the gospel. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So right now, if you're here today and you know in your heart that you've never fully understood the message of the gospel, that you never really appreciated that Jesus Christ actually came and died for you, then there's an opportunity to receive him into your heart today as to be your Lord and personal Savior. I'd love to pray with you to receive Jesus. Just raise up your hand high where I can see it. Thank you, my brother. Anybody else? You want to receive Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior today. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss the gift of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you because you love me and you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I open up my heart today and I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come and be my Lord. Come and be my Savior. from this moment forward and forevermore. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And if there's anyone who would like to recommit and rededicate their hearts to Jesus, then we can pray and do that today. Don't leave this place without getting into that place of fellowship and relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you want to rededicate your heart to Jesus, just raise your hand up high and we'll pray together. And you can rededicate your life to Christ. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the real meaning of Christmas. Thank you, Father, because you so loved us that you gave your one and only Son. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because the ministry of reconciliation continues and is amplified in the world today through many sons, Father. That you continue to reach out, Father, to the world through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you all the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said, amen.